Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Simon. It is a real privilege and a pleasure to be able to share with you this morning on this Palm Sunday as we look towards the cross and we look towards Jesus's victory. As Simon said, I've been part of the Bradley Stoke branch here at City Church for just over a year. Some of you will know me, as Simon said, as Elizabeth from the Charity 61. But I moved here to Bristol just over 3 years ago for work. And at 61, as Simon said, that looks like us supporting people who've been to prison to get back into life and into community. Isn't it just the biggest privilege to be invited into people's lives? My background prior to 61 was in social action ministry. I was part of running a church for people who occupy a special place in God's heart and people who I love. Some of them lived on the streets. Others were struggling with addiction, drugs, alcohol, you name it. Some had been to prison and others were pretty close to going there. All were looking for a loving family and a community. If I was to describe it to you, I would describe it as raw, real, messy and beautiful, sometimes all at the same time. Isn't that just like the gospel? Life can be a little bit like that, can't it? Raw, real, messy and beautiful, sometimes all at the same time. And sometimes we have to walk through the raw, the real and the messy before we get to the beautiful. But beauty is always there because Jesus is there, and he will always find a way. He is the God of possibilities. He is the God of victory. He is the God of power, and he is the God of purpose. Even when every single circumstance might suggest otherwise, this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we have been singing about this morning. And so it's in this context, and it's with this mindset, that I'd like us to approach our passage for this morning. This week is Holy Week, or Passion Week. It's the week between Palm Sunday today and Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And it's a time of reflecting and experiencing a deeper revelation of Jesus' work on the cross. And so as this week unfolds, we remember Jesus' triumphant welcome as king by the crowds in Jerusalem, all the way to his resurrection from the grave. And we're invited to see that divine strategy that God set in place to restore us to himself and the cost that Jesus paid to accomplish it. We see Jesus walk through the raw, the real, the messy, and the beautiful. And for Jesus, he endured the cross for the joy set before him. That's you and that's me. He endured all of that to get relationship back with us. And so today on Palm Sunday, we're going to read from John 12, verses 12 to 19. I think it might come up on the screen. And it's in this passage of the Bible that it describes how Jesus enters into Jerusalem as he begins his journey towards the cross. And so just to set the scene, it is Passover time. A great crowd has come to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. It's a time when the Jewish people would come together and they celebrate being delivered out of slavery. The population of Jerusalem would have usually been around 50,000 people. But at Passover time, there were 250,000 people gathered there to celebrate. The city is buzzing, not just with people, but with the news of Jesus. And so here we come to our passage, John 12, verses 12 to 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and he sat upon it, as it's written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, the disciples didn't understand this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him. the crowd that was with him, that's Jesus, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, were giving their testimonies. Because they heard that he'd done this sign, the crowd went out to meet him. The priests said to one another, "See, nothing has been gained. Look, the world has gone after him." Don't you want to be one who goes after him? Don't you want to be one sharing the testimonies of seeing Jesus' life that he gives us? And so this passage has got so much in it, culturally, prophetically, spiritually, and for us personally, as Jesus begins his journey towards the cross. And so today we're going to look at some of the things that we can learn from this passage and how we can apply them to our own lives. Lots of translations in the Bible title this passage "The Triumphal Entry." I like the title that the Message Bible gives this passage, which is "See How Your King Comes." See how your King comes. And so today we're going to look together at four ways that this passage shows us that our King is coming as we move into this Easter week. He's coming in peace. He's coming as King. He's getting you ready and he's bringing you life. Just as the crowds welcome Jesus, we're going to look about how we can position ourselves to welcome him in this way, in our own lives, in our city, and in our situations. He's coming in peace. He's coming as King. He's getting you ready and he's bringing you life. So the first one, he's coming in peace. Jesus comes seated on a donkey. Whenever a city was conquered in the ancient world, the type of animal ridden by a victorious king as he entered a defeated town made all the difference to the people. If he was seated on a horse, the city was doomed. It was a sign that the king had come in war, riding his war horse. But if he was riding on a donkey, everyone would breathe a sigh of relief, because that was a sign that the king was coming in peace. Jesus said, "I've not come to judge, but to save." Now riding a donkey, we find Jesus entering Jerusalem to do just that. He's coming in peace. It's really important that we know that in our own lives, isn't it? Do you know that Jesus is at peace with you? I just want us to pause there for a minute. Do you know that Jesus is completely at peace with you? Do you know that he is pursuing relationship with you? Do you know that he doesn't just love you, and that is huge already? He likes you. He doesn't just love you. He likes you, and he chooses you, and he's choosing you now, and he's choosing you back then. Every morning as I've been preparing over the last few weeks, I've been reminding myself of that fact out loud, and it makes a difference. Every morning I've been saying to myself, "Thank you, Jesus, that you come in peace. Thank you that you call me friend. Thank you that you have made relationship for me possible with you." Because it settles my heart. It reminds me that I have the Prince of Peace on my side. Because peace isn't the absence of trouble. Peace is not the absence of trouble or worry. It is the presence of Jesus. And so if you need to know today that Jesus is at peace with you, I invite you right now, just in your heart, to say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you come in peace. Thank you that you are at peace with me. Thank you that you call me friend." See how our King comes. He is coming as King. As soon as the crowd heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, they went out to meet him. They were anticipating his arrival. Am I anticipating Jesus arriving in every single circumstance of my life? As Jesus enters Jerusalem, the crowd are shouting and cheering, "Blessed is the King of Israel." They're waving palm branches and they're laying them down in front of Jesus as he comes into the city. They're welcoming Jesus as their king. The leaves of the palm tree symbolize triumph and victory over death. Palm trees grow in the desert. They can overcome dry and arid climates. Am I looking for Jesus to come in the dry and the arid places of my life where I feel like I haven't got hope? Because I can do that. The palm leaves are symbolic of the final victory that Jesus would soon fulfill over death on the cross. And so as Jesus begins his final journey into Jerusalem and towards the cross, he's doing that from a place of victory. He is aligning himself with the promises of God, and he is enabling us to do the same in every single circumstance of our life. There are some verses a little bit later on in the book of John that I have held on to through so many different situations. I've held on to them for myself, and I have held on to them for the people that I have walked alongside and I have discipled. Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 16, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." There are some promises that I like more than others in scriptures, and "in this world you will have trouble" is not one of my favourite promises. But it's true, isn't it? In this world we do go through times of trouble. We might not call it trouble, we could call it all kinds of things. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Because he is in the raw, the real, and the messy. He never stops being king. He's still on the throne. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've had to remind myself, Jesus, you are still on the throne. I can choose to look at what's happening around me, or I can choose to look at where Jesus is seated on his throne. Jesus doesn't shy away from the realities of life. That passage tells us that. You will have some troubles. He doesn't shy away from it. The Bible is really clear that we will go through difficult times in our lives. It won't always be easy, and we will face hardship. Some translations say tribulation. Some say difficulties. Some say trouble or sorrows. Whatever we call them, I think we can probably all relate to going through times like that. I'm so thankful that we serve a God of truth and of reality who isn't afraid of my difficulties, my troubles, my sorrows, or my hardship. He has overcome the world. Whatever situation Jesus faced, he did so from a place of victory. This is his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't engage with the pain of it. Quite the opposite. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem as he enters the city. He wept over Lazarus before he brought him back to life. He weeps as he's about to go to the cross. This is raw. This is real. But his mind is set on heaven's solutions. Jesus has the most extraordinary ability to play the high notes and the low notes of life at the same time. What do I mean by that, playing the high notes and the low notes? Jesus is able to hold in perfect tension the complete reality of a situation and yet never lose sight of the victory and the authority that he carries. Whatever situation we are in, we might not be able to change it. We might, but we might not. Whatever we are in the middle of, we are in a position to find the word of the Lord, to find the victory of God, to find the God who contends for you, the God who contends for your blessing, and the God who is bringing you life. And so as we welcome Jesus as King, we're not just surrendering to him. That's what you were sharing this morning. We are not just surrendering. We are inviting the rule and the reign of the kingdom of God into our lives. Romans 14 tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. We can expect to receive those things under his lordship. When we submit to the King of Kings, we unlock the full capacity of heaven and all of its promises to flow through us. And there are a lot of promises given to us in Scripture. This kind of submission is freeing. It is not restricting. It carries with it all of heaven's backing and resources. Are we eagerly waiting, like the people in this passage, to welcome King Jesus into every area of our lives? Can we invite the lordship of Jesus to come into our lives? Because by surrendering, we're bringing his freedom. See how our King comes. He's getting you ready. Just as Jesus has been preparing his disciples for what's about to come, so too he prepares us. And in the passages that follow his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus begins to talk to his disciples more plainly than he has ever done before about what's going to happen to him and about the cross. The disciples don't always understand, but Jesus is getting them ready. This passage tells us that they didn't understand at the time that Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was a fulfillment of prophecy. It was only after Jesus entered into his glory that they remembered what had happened and realized what had been written about him. Jesus is preparing us in every season of our life, whether we are aware of it or whether we're not. He knows where you've come from. He knows where you are. He knows what you need for where you're going. I'd just like us to pause on that one. Let's just reflect. Jesus, you know where I've come from today. Jesus, you know exactly where I am in my heart and in my life. And Jesus, you know what I need for where I'm going. Thank you, Jesus, that you are getting us ready. See how your King comes. He's bringing you life. Our passage tells us that Jerusalem is buzzing with the news of Lazarus, because Jesus has recently raised Lazarus from the dead. We say that quite casually. Jesus has literally just raised Lazarus from the dead, and the eyewitnesses are telling everyone. The testimony is going out throughout Jerusalem. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. And of all of Jesus' miracles, this one paves the way for us to understand a greater miracle. Jesus came to fulfill his purpose for coming to earth, to die and to rise again, to pay for the sins of all humankind, making friendship with God possible. Do you know the name Lazarus means God is my help? God is my help. The name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Jesus, thank you that you are my help. Thank you that you are our help. And thank you that you are our salvation. Just watch what God is about to do. Lazarus is raising from the dead, is prophesying the greater thing that Jesus is about to do. There's a phrase or a quote that is sometimes attributed to John Lennon. I'd like to think that it was somebody much more profound. Is often attributed to John Lennon. And the quote is this: everything will be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. Everything will be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. Jesus is in the raw, the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Sometimes we have to walk through all three to see the beauty, but it's there because Jesus is there. See how our King comes. He's coming in peace. He's coming as King. He's getting you ready, and he's bringing you life. I'd love for us to pray and invite Jesus to do these things for us this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the truth that we have read this morning. Jesus, I thank you for the truth that if we don't yet know you, you come in peace. Jesus, you have dealt forever with the sin that caused us to be separate from you, God. All we need to do now is to receive your salvation, to believe in you, Jesus, and to turn away from those things. Jesus, we welcome you. Thank you that you come in peace. Jesus, thank you that you come in power. We invite you, Jesus, to come in power in our lives, in our city, in our work, in our schools, in our families. Thank you, Jesus, that you come in power and authority. Jesus, thank you that as we come under your authority, all of heaven backs us. Jesus, I ask that you would release all of heaven's resources that we need in our own lives and in our city. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, that you call us friend. Thank you that you don't just love us, that you like us. Jesus, thank you that you are pursuing relationship with us. Thank you that as we look towards next Sunday to your glorious, glorious rising from death, Jesus, thank you that by your death you have given us life. Jesus, I invite you to come in all of your life and to fill us with your presence. Amen.